Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Welcome to the show, and we got a Monday surprise for you, a little Al Melchior in your life. Well, hello, Al. How you doing?
Hello there. I'm very happy to be here. I like being on the Monday podcast. I miss being on the Monday podcast. I'm not thrilled about the reason, though.
What's the reason?
Well, my second computer has gone kaput in like the past 3 weeks.
What does that have to do with you being on the podcast?
Well, I was going to write today's waiver wire column. It's a good question. It's not natural transition there. Chris Towers is stepping in last minute because his computer works.
Al's actually the backup to the backup today. That's
right. Yeah, Chris was on the bench, ready to get in the lineup.
Oh yeah, Heath's here too. Al, who were you going to write the the waiver wire column about?
Well, the three call ups from this weekend: AJ Reed, Brandon Nimmo, and Chad Kuhl.
No Chesler Cuthbert?
You know what? He was on the fringe because, I usually on a Monday, I'll write about five players. That's just three. And Chesler was one of three vying for the final two spots.
Okay. All right. Great.
He had a monster weekend.
So, but now you have to take that up with Chris Towers.
Well, listen, I'm pleased to have both of you on. I'm pleased to have all of you listeners. Hope you had a great weekend. Oh yeah. We got July 4th coming up. Apparently I'm going to have a good view of fireworks from my apartment. I'm excited about that. So I'm kind of like, I'm really, this is like summer's hitting full stride. I'm in a good mood.
But see, that's the problem with moving away from Florida. It's been summer here for like 6 months.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's amazing what goes on up north, right now. Everybody's out getting some color. And we got a lot to talk about with baseball. Hey, can either of you pitch? Because if you can, like, every baseball team should put help wanted ads up. The pitching has been horrible this year, and I looked up the ERAs the last 5 years. Here you go, from 2012 to this year, 2016, the MLB ERA, 401, 386, 374, 396, and 416 this year in 2016. That's the highest since 2009. Is it just me, or are you guys getting so frustrated with your fantasy pitching?
No, it's not just you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I haven't really, I don't know. I mean, basically, and I haven't looked at the peripherals yet to see. I'd be curious as to why the ERA is the highest it's ever been.
No, well,
home runs are way up, right?
I'd assume it's home runs.
Yeah.
Because strikeouts are also way up.
Always.
Still. Well, if they were always way up, then it wouldn't be way up.
Every single year they set a new strikeout record. Isn't that right? Am I making
Since, 2000 something.
Yeah, every year there's a new strikeout record. It keeps on happening.
Okay.
I'm serious.
We believe you.
I can try to double check that, but I think that's right.
No, I think it is right.
Yeah. All right. So that there, I just double checked with Al. He confirmed.
I have no computer, so I'm going off the computer in my head, which is, notoriously faulty, but I think that's right.
Well, all I'm saying in terms of fantasy, right? It's like, you can talk. The first segment we're going to do on the show is are you ready to drop these guys? And then we're going to talk about the guys that Al just mentioned. We'll talk about Jose Reyes, talk about who stood out, most added list. You know how it works on Mondays. We're going to help you set your lineups. We're going to help you pick up players you need to pick up. But also, it's like, yeah, should you be dropping Marcus Stroman or Aaron Nola or Drew Smiley? But who are you picking up for them? I think that's a huge issue, too. It's like, that's why I'm stashing a lot of these underachieving pitchers, because there's just not a ton of guys out there on waivers that I'm all that excited for.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we had a wave 2-3 weeks ago of up-and-comers, Archie Bradley and Danny Duffy, James Paxton. There's nobody I'm really excited about right now. But, to me, the even better reason to stash these guys is because I think they're going to turn it around.
Look at the guys you just mentioned. Danny Duffy, James Paxton, Archie Bradley. None of them have sustained start-worthy fantasy value,
Matt Shoemaker has.
Shoemaker and Fulmer. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Heath, you want to weigh in on this this pitching debate?
I thought we were just going to jump right into those guys. there's a few on this list that I feel exactly the way that you're saying. And there's some of them that I'm just kind of done with, just because I think it's unfair to say that, I mean, none of those guys have maintained fantasy start worthy. Cause if we're saying there's nobody worth adding and the league ERA is up to 4.16, then the bar lowers for what's fantasy start worthy.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. All right, so let's go through the list then. You ready?
Okay.
Everybody email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We got emails coming up later in the show. We got an interesting FanDuel slate tonight as Troy Tulowitzki returns to Colorado and is still fairly affordable and hitting well, so he's probably going to be in a lot of lineups. But here are the pitchers that I put in the Are You Ready to Drop category. They are all owned in 80% of leagues or more. And Aaron Nola, so the book on him has been he can't control anything. I watched a lot of his start yesterday, and yeah, he's all over the place, but there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, it's four straight starts of less than four innings for Nola. Are you ready to drop Aaron Nola?
No.
Yeah, absolutely not.
He's a zero on the drop-a-meter for me.
Oh, we're putting down the meter here, huh?
Well, if we had one, that's what it would be for me.
No, we have one. You took it out of the closet, and it's right
Let's
on
do
the
it.
Desk here.
Let's
zero
do it.
On the drop-a-meter for Aaron Nola.
Same here.
I take that back. Maybe a one if you're in a 10-team league and some dork just dropped somebody really good.
Okay.
I think I would still drop somebody else. Nola was so great up until, what, five starts ago? Mm-hmm. He's completely lost it. But, you know, who's to say the next start isn't the one, you know, where he comes back? Just like Tyler Duffy, by the way.
Oh, yeah. See, 10% owned Tyler Duffy. A awesome start yesterday for Tyler Duffy, but eight straight bad ones before that, or seven or eight.
Nola's got three more.
It's the Yankees.
Yeah. Marcus Stroman, 5.33 ERA and 71 strikeouts and 101 and a third, and apparently could be sent down, Marcus Stroman.
Well, he should be. I got a question for you. How would you feel about dropping Jeff Luck?
I would drop Jeff Luck.
What about Jared Weaver?
Yeah, I would drop him too.
Wade Miley, Chad Bettis, Clay Buchholz.
I bet Marcus Stroman is roughly the equivalent of those guys, right?
Those six pitchers, including Marcus Stroman, are the only qualified starters in baseball this year with an ERA over five and less than seven strikeouts per nine.
Oy.
He's been bad. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been unlucky. But at the same time, and this is something I said at the beginning of the year, if you don't strike anyone out, unless you are Dallas Keuchel's unicorn 2014 season, you are leaving yourself susceptible to luck.
Yeah.
I don't think that's even debatable. He's had bad luck, so he's been bad. He has to have great luck to be great, though.
Well, okay. Well, you know what? That's fine. I won't even... I think it's a little strong to say he needs great luck to be great, because he's been great before, Marcus Stroman.
For four starts last year.
Yeah. Well, all right.
And he was good the year before that with good luck.
Up until eight starts ago. So this is Stroman's eight start bad stretch. He's ready to come back. He had a 3.54 ERA, and his sinker, which is getting mashed during the cold streak, the average against it was 2.45.
Okay.
So Stroman was fine up until.
I think fine is a very good way to describe what he was.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, now what? Drop-o-meter, Stroman.
My issue with, I would say six. And that's largely because I don't think the likelihood of him having one of those stretches where you're just killing yourself for having dropped him are very good.
It, I mean, this sounds suspiciously like the argument I made about Michael Wacha a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, I like Stroman a little bit better than Wacha. But, so if you're a six, I'm a four.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about Jaime Garcia, who's now 5-6 with a 4.09 ERA? And he had two pretty good starts before a bad one at Seattle over the weekend. Jaime Garcia, 0-10.
Nine.
See,
I'm donezo.
I feel about the same about Jaime Garcia as I do Marcus Stroman, so I'll say six.
Let's frame it, though, and we'll obviously spend more time later in the show talking about who we're actually picking up, but
right.
Who would you be picking up? Are there any? Okay, Daniel Mengden. He's a two-star pitcher this week. Forget about the RP eligibility because that changes everything, but most people are playing in leagues where that doesn't matter. So would you pick up Daniel Megden? I dropped Drew Smyly for Megden this morning.
Yeah, I've been looking for somebody to drop to pick up Smyly because I like Smyly more than I do Stroman or Garcia. I think Smyly has the opportunity to be worse than both those guys and better than both those guys. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have that guy at the end of my bench than the guy that I think is probably going to be average but going to suck at times. Megden, I don't know. But I think Garcia and Stroman are both the type of guys that I'm not going to feel too terrible about dropping for a two-start pitcher.
Yeah. Well, and again, I feel that way much more so for Garcia. And I think what I'm doing with Stroman is what a lot of the people who I sort of criticized back in March, who I thought were overhyping Stroman, is that I do think that maybe there's some upside there that I don't really see in Garcia, that separates them.
It is possible.
But, you know, they're both, yeah, I mean, Garcia, I'm done, and I'm fairly close to being done with Stroman. So I could definitely see dropping Garcia for Megden. And I'm not sure that Megden's going to, you know, be any great shakes. I would drop Garcia for Matt Wisler, who looks like he's going to have a two-start week. And then that's somebody I probably would ditch after this week.
Okay. I'm not sure I would do it for Robbie Ray, though. Robbie Ray is one of the most added players in our leagues. 47% owned, two-start pitcher.
I added him in a couple different leagues. I guess we're getting already to the guys we added, and I shouldn't do that yet.
No, but would you drop Jaime Garcia for him? I guess you would, right? It's just a stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's also the difference that you fantasy owners are going to have to make is, am I starting this guy or am I stashing this guy for upside?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not dropping Jaime Garcia for whoever Robbie Ray if I don't need to start Robbie Ray this week. That'd be dumb.
Right. How about James Paxton? Let's go to our next guy. James Paxton, 0-10.
One.
Yeah, I think Paxton's closer to Nola than he is to Stroman or Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd go all the way down at one because we've seen plenty of bad James Paxton over his career as well. But he does. I'd put Paxton more in the Smyly group.
Okay.
Like both of those guys I could see being pretty terrible at times this year, but they both have the potential to go on a 6-7-8 start run where they just carry your team.
I like it that we now have a Smyly group, and it's a good group that connotes good things.
Yeah, I'm pretty fed up with Smyly, but I knew this was going to be a bad week for him. I mean, at Cleveland, they're the hottest team in baseball. Of course, we didn't know that a week ago, but but it's not a great park, and at Baltimore, so I feel like Smyly and Odorizzi are in the same camp, and they're both on this list. Or I'm only thinking about starting them in home games, or Oakland.
Yeah, there's a lot more upside with Smyly than Odorizzi, I feel like.
There is. Odorizzi, I also feel more confident. I know what I'm getting, and I would be way more likely to start Odorizzi in a home game right now than Smyly, because Smiley's just giving up home runs everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Gio Gonzalez, 0-10.
8.
Yeah, he's not in the Smyly group. He's more in the Jaime Garcia group.
Jordan Zimmermann.
No. 0.
6.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely put Zimmermann in my Michael Walker group. We got all groups here and there. But Zimmermann is so overrated now. He's not really doing anything to back it up.
I'm so happy to see this. I would have been so burned if Zimmermann had a good year. I refused to draft him, and he's only got, so Heath, let's talk about this. 57 strikeouts and 89 2/3 for Zimmermann. You think that comes up a little bit?
Yes, I don't think he's going to be quite that bad of a strikeout pitcher, but again, he is a little bit. We saw an incredible start to the season for Zimmermann because he got incredibly lucky, and we've seen a very rough patch recently where he's been unlucky. I think he's a pretty good pitcher still. I think Stroman is hoping to grow up and be Jordan Zimmermann one day.
Who are you starting in this matchup, if either? Jordan Zimmermann at Tampa Bay against Drew Smyly this week.
Zimmermann, for sure.
Yeah.
What about Smyly?
If I can avoid it.
I'm just not starting Smyly. Right.
I would rather start Robbie Ray on two starts, Giordano on two starts, than Smyly on one.
Giordano's making two starts. Is his suspension over?
His suspension ends, and this was a tricky one. This is probably one of the guys I added the most over the weekend because a lot of people just dropped him. And
you should have looked at me when you said that.
Yes. Al dropped him.
Because when you say people, you're really talking about me.
And yes, he comes back on Tuesday, I believe.
That I think that's right.
And then makes another start on Sunday.
And he's started to come around before the suspension.
Yeah.
Okay, last guy on the ready to drop list. Drop-o-meter for Jameson Taillon, 80% owned, and he's only had one good start, and it came against one of the worst lineups in baseball, the Mets.
I'm still with two. I need to let this play out with Taillon for a little longer.
I've had the same debate with Blake Snell.
I'd much rather start Taillon. In fact, I did drop Blake Snell in a couple weeks this week.
He's a two-start pitcher this week. I don't think I can start him.
That's why I dropped him. If you can't start
him on a two-start week. I'm not dropping Taillon, though, so two.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the new faces in new places or in new roles. Al, gosh, I mean, you forget about Dylan Overton, too. You talk about all these call-ups, and what about Oakland starting pitcher Dylan Overton?
Well, you're going to have to send a text to Chris Towers.
Okay, I'll tell him to put
him in the column. Make sure he puts him in the column.
Well, the most added player in our leagues is Daniel Megna. The second most added player is Sungwon Oh, who could be in line to be the closer as Trevor Rosenthal has been removed temporarily. You know what they say. It's always, well, we're gonna try to get him right. We're going to take him out of the ninth inning role. And we're going to use a combination of three guys, but really we're just going to use one, is what they should say. Seagrass pitched, I think, the sixth inning yesterday. And Sungwon Oh, 46% owned now, 166 ERA, 0.79 whip, 12.1 strikeouts per nine. That is the stuff of legends, guys.
It is. He's the closer.
He's the only one I picked up out of this group. If they give save opportunities to Jonathan Broxton with O on this roster, oh no.
Now, I'll say this about Broxton. 12 straight scoreless appearances for Broxton with two hits and three walks.
That's good.
Very good. And Seagrass, it has been for 2 years now a very good pitcher as well. I picked him up only because I couldn't pick up O. So, okay, O is clearly the guy to get.
Oh, yes.
What about Trevor Rosenthal? Are you comfortable dropping him, or do you want to see how this plays out?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I'm okay with dropping him.
I am, too. 10.
He's a 10 on the dropometer.
A.J. Reed is 61% owned, first baseman for the Astros. He has started his two games. Now, they've actually kept Marwin Gonzalez in the lineup. They found a way, whether DH, first base. I think actually Gonzalez played second base one of the games, and Altuve DH'd. So that's interesting. But what are your overall thoughts on A.J. Reed? Welcome to the show, A.J. Reed.
Yeah, I wanted to pick him up, but you said 61% ownership rate. Well, the leagues I'm in must make up a good chunk of that.
He's 100% in our league. Yeah. I checked everywhere.
So, he's must add if you can add him.
Okay, get A.J. Reed on your team. Even in like the... only start one first baseman in a utility, three outfielder kind of format.
I mean, certainly if it's 12 teams or deeper.
Yeah, because just like we were talking about, we want the guy with upside on our bench. So even if you're not going to start him, which I would expect you're probably not going to this first week, but I want that guy that could be something great.
Yeah, and first base is bad. So
would you drop Freddie Freeman for him?
I wouldn't drop him. But I wouldn't start Reed over him this week. I'd see how it goes and maybe start Reed over him next week.
All right. How about Kendrys Morales or AJ Reed? Who would you guys rather pick up? If you're just looking to add a hitter, I understand Morales in CBS Sports Leagues is not first base eligible, but who would you pick up?
I would pick up Reed, but Big Ken is back.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh yeah. He's back. Look at his numbers in June.
Oh yeah. No, he's been terrific.
He's killing the ball. He's walking again. Everything looks good with Big Ken.
Awesome.
Well, I just want to go back real quick to the Astros situation too, because it seems like that's not really great for Evan Gattis. With Gonzalez staying in the lineup.
And well, it's only been two games. I will caution that, but yeah, Gattis has been pretty bad.
Yeah,
that's a good call, Al.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Jose Reyes expected to lead off for the Mets and play some third base. He's working it out in the minors right now, but he'll be up fairly soon. What's your level of interest? If AJ Reed is a 10 on the addometer, where's Jose Reyes?
Well, shortstop's not bad this year. And I'm not confident Reyes will play every day when he comes back or be all that good. So it's a 3.
Now, when we say that that first base is bad,
it's relative to prior years, not to each other.
First base is better than shortstop.
Yes.
Okay. I would rather, if Jose Reyes and AJ Reed And maybe this is just because I made sure that I got an elite first baseman in the first two rounds of every draft that I was in this year. I would rather have Jose Reyes and AJ Reed if they're both on the waiver wire. But it depends on what your roster construction is. I don't think Jose Reyes is bad. I think he has to play a lot because the Mets offense is awful. They are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So there's very few situations where I wouldn't pick Reyes up if someone else hadn't already done it.
Are you really thinking that Reyes can give you anything other than steals?
I think he can give you batting average. I think if he hits at the top of the order, I think it's possible he can give you runs. If he's a leadoff hitter, we've talked before, Adam, especially in points leagues, about how important those plate appearances are.
Yes.
He's going to get a bunch of them.
All right. Would you rather have Zach Cozart or Jose Reyes?
Jose Reyes.
Al?
Yeah, I would rather have Reyes.
Aledmys Diaz or Jose Reyes?
Aledmys Diaz. He seems to be back.
I picked him up, yeah.
It's close.
I'm sorry.
It's really close for me.
I was just going to ask Adam if that was in our podcast points league where he picked him up.
No, I tried. I put in a claim. Yeah, Scott
I did too, but Scott, go Cats, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, that SOB. That's why he's off the show today.
Yeah.
Michael Conforto sent down. Brandon Nimmo, 12% owned, called up. He batted 7th at Atlanta on Sunday, and Nimmo went 0-for-4 with a K. Are you finding Nimmo on any of your rosters?
No. No to the joke. No to Nimmo. No, no, no.
Yeah, I needed an outfielder to replace Steve Pierce in Tout Wars, which is 15-team roto. And I prioritize Mac Williamson over Nimmo.
Oh.
So not too interested. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I picked up Brandon Nimmo in a roto league where JD Martinez and Fowler are both on my DL. And then I dropped him for Tyler Naquin, who I'm hoping could just stay hot. What do you guys think about that? Naquin or Nimmo?
I don't think Tyler Naquin's going to stay hot, but I would rather have him than Nimmo.
Me too.
I am hoping, honestly, that Naquin can stay hot for like a week. That's all.
That's possible.
Yeah. It's more just riding the hot hand at this point. It's a 5 outfielder league. And then Fowler should be back in about a week. And Chad Kuhl, K-U-H-L, Kuhl, 6% owned. I gotta be honest, I was watching the game kind of half watching, and I thought he was pitching really well. And then I saw the final line. I know he gave up I saw the home run to Turner, but I was surprised. Three runs on 4 hits, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Dodgers in 5 innings for Chad Kuhl. So it wasn't very good.
He got a win. He
did
Kershaw.
Get a win. Yeah, he beat Kershaw. How about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you think? 6% owned. Is he worth taking a flyer on?
I have no interest.
Picked him up in NL only.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
What about Dylan Overton?
He was really good earlier. Before the call up, Kuhl hadn't really. He'd cooled off.
Oh, nice. Finding Nimmo. Dylan Overton on Oakland. Any interest?
On a interest-o-meter, 1 to 100, 1.
1 to 100, wow.
No, on a 0 to 100, I would go 3.
Okay, that's Dylan Overton. He's 3% owned, and he gave up 3 home runs. Those were the only three runs he gave up in his start at the Angels. All right, we have a lot to get to today, including Steven Strasburg's injury. Man, just a terrible weekend of pitching. Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Johnny Cueto, David Price. Guys just were not themselves. But first of all, I want to tell you that when I need tickets to a concert or game, SeatGeek is always the first place I go. I am a SeatGeek believer. I tell everybody about it. I'm telling you, the website and the app are the best. Finding tickets online used to be a real confusing process. How did you know? This is the key. How did you know if you were really getting the best deal? You probably went to one website. You didn't scour. But SeatGeek makes it so much easier to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. And SeatGeek does all the work and saves you time and money. They rank their tickets based on value so you know which seats are the most underpriced. And guess what? You can get a $20 rebate off your first purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FANTASY, and SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So again, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY, today. Great, great opportunity to save some money and get the best value on tickets at SeatGeek. Okay, so who'd you guys add and drop this weekend? Big ones for you.
Well, we've kind of talked about a lot of the guys that I added and dropped. Giordano and Robbie Ray were the two start guys that I targeted. I was able to add O in a couple of leagues. Justin Turner's got some good matchups this week. I dropped Michael Conforto in the 17 leagues that I owned him in.
Yeah, this is the week when I start to unload Robbie Grossman. The experiment's over. But yeah, I picked up some O. Matt Wisler, who I mentioned before. I'm trying to think in terms of hitters. There really were not hitters I was interested in. I did have to, in our podcast points league, I need to pick up potential replacements for both middle infield slots because I have Trevor Story and DJ LeMahieu. So I went and got Marcus Semien and Addison Russell.
I picked up some Johnny Peralta this morning after somebody in my league dropped him.
Yeah, I wisely dropped him for Aledmys Diaz.
Yeah.
That was me, by the way.
And I didn't really, I didn't have a ton of room because I had a lot of guys coming back from the disabled list. It seemed like that I had to put in my lineup this week. Travis d'Arnaud, I finally had to slide in there. Alex Gordon. Who else? There were a couple more that came back. So I was more trying to find somebody to drop than I was add.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, that was, not Addison Russell, it was Devin Travis that I picked up.
Devin Travis, yeah. And yeah. You know what? He's got a Coors series coming up. That's a good ad there, Mr. Melchior.
See, I was really interested in Kevin Pillar, but then I couldn't figure out who was going to play where this week with the Blue Jays not being able to use a DH.
Mm. Yeah, good point. I can't quit Brett Gardner. I'm back on. Last week I did quit Brett Gardner, but now... You know, he had a solid week. He's got 7 games. The Rangers pitching staff is coming into town, and it's really not very good without Colby Lewis and even Derek Holland in there. And
anytime you say something's not very good without Colby Lewis, it's bad.
Hey, I'm sorry to break it to you, but he's had a good year. So, I mean, fantasy aside, you know, he's been a solid starting pitcher. And Martin Perez just pitched yesterday. So, you know, the Yankees have some good matchups there at home. So Gardner's 79%. Oh, this is the guy who was an all-star last year.
No, that's a good pickup. I think he's back.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, he's
who
not,
is the who is the aging Yankee segment sponsored by?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's not hitting for any power. He's gotten a lot of singles lately.
Metamucil.
Hey, okay, you want to hear something great?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. You probably haven't, because why would you? Aaron Judge is on fire. He's hit 5 home runs in his last 6 games. He's hit 6 home runs in his last 8 games. He is killing it in AAA. So if they do make a trade, Aaron Judge.
Yeah, who is the Yankees noted. Farm Report sponsored by?
That is by all me. Okay. We can put SeatGeek on that if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, best way to find Yankees minor league tickets.
You know, I think the Yankees could use an upgrade either at third base or maybe
short, second,
yeah,
first.
You know who plays those positions?
Catcher.
Brandon Drury. Then you could have Judge and Drury in the same field.
All right, the Yankees portion of the show is over. Let's see who the people have added and dropped. I mentioned that the most added player was Daniel Magny, then Senwan Oh. Wilson Contreras is 85% owned. He played left field twice over the weekend. Ooh, how cool was that, Wilson Contreras?
I really like the fact that the Cubs have like 14 utility players, Anthony Rizzo, and 12 pitchers. That's awesome. But no, he's been outstanding so far. I think he should be 85% owned. We'll see if he cools off.
Now, what's going to happen when Fowler comes back?
I don't know, but I don't think you take.
I guess Almora.
Yeah,
maybe even goes back to the minors.
Probably no Mora, Almora.
Yeah.
Albert Suarez.
That was a courtesy chuckle.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. Albert Suarez is the 4th most added player. He is RP eligible. And he must be a 2-star pitcher, right? Albert Suarez for the Giants?
He is, but it's still puzzling to me. He was one of the 3 I was thinking about squeezing into that waiver wire column that I'm now not writing. I'm not sure what all the fuss is about Suarez. I mean, he's fine.
He's got Oakland in his first start and then at Arizona. We got Adam Conley, 74% owned. Justin Bour, 55% owned. Al, what do you think about Justin Bour?
The power was a little lacking up until this recent hot stretch. So to me, this is kind of just making up for lost time. And while I keep saying first base is bad, I do think that that Bohr kind of gets lost in the shuffle at that position. So if you, I don't know, got Adrian Gonzalez or Freddie Freeman or.
Well, he's a roto only guy. Where
yeah.
You, where you need a first baseman, for points. A corner infielder, and a utility.
Well, and I think it's a stronger format
right.
on top of that.
Yes.
Yeah. But so if you've got, you know, first baseman that you're not happy with, I think Bohr is a decent short-term replacement, but I expect he'll cool off.
Now, this week, I don't think Bohr has any lefties, although do you know the handedness of John Gant?
I believe righty.
He's a righty, yeah.
What about Daniel Norris? He's a righty, right?
He's a lefty.
Lefty.
Oh, he's a lefty. Okay, so he has Pelfrey.
I just got a new hand.
He has Pelfrey, Norris, Teron, Bud Norris, John Gant, and Matt Whistler. So he should be in there for 5 of 6 games, and Bohr's got like 3 home runs in his last 4.
That's a lot of bad pitchers, too.
Yeah. This could be a good week.
Yeah, not too bad. At Detroit and at Atlanta, so fairly big parks. But would you rather? I know what you're going to say, but I'll ask it anyway for the sake of the people. They're owned in about the same amount of leagues. Justin Bohr, A.J. Reed.
Own A.J. Reed, start Justin Bohr.
No, okay.
I agree. I'm not 100% confident in Reed's playing time right away.
Justin Turner, 79% owned. Should that be? Should he be closer to 100%?
He's had some really bad cold streaks this year. The reason he's on the most added list is because Scott used him to highlight the hitter column, I think. And he does have good matchups this week. I am starting him everywhere I own him. But I've gone back and forth this year starting him or A. Eugenio, guys like that, Duffy from when he was healthy. I don't think he should be 100% owned.
Okay, and I'll do one more here. Jake Peavy, 30% owned. Been pretty good for 5 starts or so. What do you think about Peavy?
I am back to feeling confident about Peavy when he's at AT&T Park. So he's not a bad guy to have on your bench and stream in and out.
I lied. One more. Melvin Upton, 60% owned. He's having a little bit of a resurgence here.
Yeah, I think it could be even a little bit higher. And I think I made this argument last week that Upton will give you steals. And I don't think that he's an empty steal source. The batting average is probably not going to be very good.
Right.
But there's a little bit of power there.
He's 60% owned?
Yes.
I would guess that at least 40% of our leagues are 3 outfielder points leagues. And he shouldn't be owning those. Right?
Right. But you said 40%. I don't think it's any more than that.
So if he's 60%.
Or he's at 60.
Yeah. I think it's about right.
I mean, if you take some really deep formats into account. Actually, well, okay, I'm sorry, it's a categories league, so never mind. But our 3 outfielder categories league,
yeah.
I'm an Upton owner. This particular Upton. Melvin.
But that's a 16-team league, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you rather have Angel Pagan, who's hot right now, or Melvin Upton?
I'd rather have Upton.
I think Melvin.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's a thing where you really need to worry about your batting average, Melvin gets the edge.
Would you rather have Brandon Nimmo or Angel Pagan?
Pagan.
Definitely Pagan.
Here's one guy that Al picked up in, I think, our 16-team league, Travis Jankowski. 8% owned, steals guy if John Jay doesn't come back.
Lead yeah, well, and I think Jay, he'll come back eventually, but it may not be for long just because I think he's somebody that the Padres will probably trade. And so if Jankowski winds up going to the bench, I don't think it's going to be for very long. So
by the way,
he's somebody to look at Roto.
The Padres are hitting right now. Are we aware of this?
I know they're hitting better, and I don't know where they are right now in the WOBA rankings, but I said something to Heath on Friday when I was working on the pitcher column that I was surprised the Padres at that point ranked 6th in WOBA against lefties.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're top 8 in OPS against lefties last I checked. They're like 18th in runs scored so far this year. And I heard, this could be wrong, but maybe you guys could look it up. There's a chance that the Padres have scored the most runs in baseball in June. I would like for somebody to look into that. Is that possible?
It is definitely possible. There is a filter you can run on either one of our friends. I'm going to use FanGraphs, and you just go to the team leaders board, and you change the month to June, and then you just sort by runs. And that will give us the answer to if they are first in baseball and runs in June.
Well, you should do it.
That was some grade A stalling right there.
Well, I think it's important. Like, if you give a man a piece of fish, he eats today. We're teaching Adam to fish.
Yes, please teach me to fish.
The Padres are fourth in baseball at 132 runs. Now, they've also, looks like, played more games than anyone else.
So it's a total fraud is what you're saying.
Yeah. We here at CBS Sports prefer to use WOBA, and they rank 8th in June in WOBA.
Well, it's interesting. It's just because, you know, like, nobody's starting Nate Eovaldi anymore. But I'm at the point where my pitching is so bad in one of my leagues where I was thinking I'm going to start Nate Eovaldi one start at the Padres. But I don't think it's a good matchup right now.
So, well, I think they're still getting, like, striking out way too much against righties.
Who cares about strikeouts if he's going to give up? If he's going to give up five runs,
important stat for a starting pitcher.
The single? Did you say that's the single most important stat?
Yes.
Is that what you just said?
Yep.
I just want to make sure that you just said that strikeouts are the single most important stat.
That's what I said. Yes.
Okay, so it's not ERA.
No.
It's not WHIP.
ERA doesn't lead to strikeouts.
It doesn't matter. It's production. It's fantasy production. It's runs that you give up.
Strikeouts actually impact WHIP and ERA.
Well, you enjoy Robbie Ray this week with all his strikeouts.
Yes, I'm going to. I picked him up in several leagues. Partner is striking out the fourth most against righties.
All right, let's do some news. Steven Strasburg's on the DL with a back issue. Eligible to return this week, but you know, I don't know when that's going to happen. He initially hurt himself by dislocating two ribs while lifting weights. They relocated them, and now Strasburg has this back issue. One season in his career, this is his seventh year with more than 183 innings pitched. But anyway, do you think it's Lucas Giolito time?
I don't think so. I don't know who it's going to be.
Petit?
But it could be Petit or Austin Voth, maybe. I would think one of those two more likely than Strasburg. If I had to speculate on somebody, I'd say Petit.
Edinson Volquez, his start on Friday was truly one of the worst in baseball history. It was ugly. Alex Gordon is back. He's 52% owned. And Vince Velasquez will start tonight and be a two-star pitcher. And Velasquez speculated that his innings limit could be around 150 or 160. And with how deep Velasquez pitches into games, that's probably another 45 starts for Vince Velasquez. So I don't know that you need to worry too much about the innings limit with 4 1/3 inning Vince Velasquez over there.
But the two-start week.
It is a two-star week.
He might throw six and a third
innings. I was surprised. He's not available in any of my leagues.
Because pitching is so bad.
Still owned everywhere. No one listens to Adam.
No, look, I haven't dropped him. I have him in two leagues. There's nobody to pick up. Okay.
Should have dropped him for Yordano Ventura.
More innings this week. Vince Velasquez or Francisco Liriano?
Is Liriano have two starts?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'll say Velasquez.
Yeah, I'll say Velasquez too.
All right, fine. I'll do the contrarian play. I'll take Liriano. Melvin Upton homered twice at Cincinnati. We talked about him. Francisco Lindor homered twice on Saturday. Matt Wieters homered twice on Saturday. Andrew McCutchen homered twice and then followed it up with an ofer, granted against Clayton Kershaw. Brett Laurie homered twice. One of them was inside the park. This is all in one game. Victor Martinez had a two-homer game. Matt Carpenter had a two-homer game, and nearly three got robbed at the wall. And Kendrys Morales apparently is back. Anything that stand out to you there with those guys I just said?
Well, it's kind of overkill because everybody owns Lindor and everybody starts Lindor. But yeah, now that the power's there this year against righty, so I am now officially completely wrong on Lindor's a bust.
I wish I could see some splits on Matt Wieters on the weekend, because I feel like every Monday show we talk about Matt Wieters having this great weekend, and then he goes like 1 for 23 over the week. And then Friday and Saturday roll around, and Matt Wieters is ready to roll again.
I'm pretty sure I can get you those splits, and if I can, I will soon teach you how to fish. Other hitters who are hitting well right now, Prince Fielder, he's only 75% owned. He had a nice weekend. Caught a mild hot streak. I think it's an 8-game hitting streak with 9 hits for Prince Fielder, but he's got 4 games at Yankee Stadium and 3 at Minnesota, so you know he's not facing great pitching this week. Are you guys ready to get back on board with Prince Fielder?
Just because of what you told me about his schedule this week, I think I am. But I don't think he's fixed. I don't think Prince Fielder's ever going to be Prince Fielder again.
No, I mean, 40 home run, Prince Fielder, of course. I don't even think he'll hit 30 ever again.
He's not ever hitting 30 again.
But, 25 with a 310 average, I think we could see that rate from here on out.
Back when many, many years ago, at the end of the 2011 season, I was writing on a Royals blog in my spare time. And I wrote that Prince Fielder, after this research of players in his of his particular shape at his particular age, was never going to hit 30 home runs again. and he hit 30 that year. And since he hasn't done it, like I almost look brilliant.
Oh, almost.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up his Matt Wieters days of the week stats.
Well, if you found it, I would be very impressed.
I didn't find it, so.
Yeah, let down again.
Let that again. Yep, totally. And Albert Pimples, the Angels DH/first baseman, he homered Friday and Saturday. He had 3 hits on Sunday. And I will say that about a month ago, he did the exact same thing. Home run, 3-hit game, and then he did nothing after that. So I don't know what to do with Albert Pujols. I'm surprised he still started in 87% of leagues.
So you don't think Pimples is about to pop off?
I don't know, Al. It's a leap of faith.
My speculation is that Albert Pujols still has these elite skills, but he's aged to the point to where like he gets the timing on for about a week at a time and everything works right. And then he loses that timing and he struggles to find it again. And then he gets it and then he's good for just a little bit of time. I do think he started in too high of a percentage of leagues though.
I'm trying to look up his matchups actually. If you guys want to talk about Jonathan Scope.
Well, I mean, he's been one of the most productive second baseman. I don't know where he would rank like last 14 days. I would guess maybe first.
Right.
But yeah, I don't buy the really high batting average of late. In fact, you've got it here in the notes. Last 16 games, 400 batting average. So I think he's going to settle in as like a 260, 270 guy on a 25 to 30 home run pace, which is, you know, pretty darn good for second base.
All right, Albert Pujols has 6 games, 3 against Houston at home, 3 at Boston. He's got McHugh, McCullers, Keuchel, Stephen Wright, Clay Buchholz, and Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, I'd probably start him this week. Everybody has good matchups this week.
That's because the pitchers are terrible. That's because there are 3 good pitchers in baseball.
Where
2 of them are pitching
the
tonight.
Good pitchers?
Well, listen, pitching is terrible, but what if I told you, everybody, you can have Jake Arrieta or Noah Syndergaard or Jeff Samardzija home against Oakland tonight? That's FanDuel. I'm talking about FanDuel. Choose from any player that's playing in today's games. Those are just 3 of the options for you. I'm going with Trevor Bauer at Atlanta. Set a lineup. Win some money. Play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. We love FanDuel. It's easy to play. It's fun. It's competitive. It's challenging. And it's such a small commitment. Contests start at just $1. Over 1 million users have won money on FanDuel, and now it's your turn. New users can sign up and use our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN. And when you use that promo code, enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. More news and notes, and then we'll get to the rest of it here. I know it's been a bit of a slow-moving show, but hey, we're having fun. Another autocorrect. Taiwan Walker is now Taoism Walker, and he could start Thursday.
The mariner that can be named is not really a mariner.
That's probably funny. I don't really get it because Al's smarter than I am. But
that's the best part.
Yeah. Like,
that's the part that makes it the best.
Marcelo Zuna missed 2 straight games. All right, so here are guys you need to check on, okay? Just check on them. Marcelo Zuna, Jason Kipnis, he should be fine. Steven Moya, DJ LeMahieu, Trevor Story, Gregory Polanco, he pinch hit Sunday. Might not start today. They have an early game at 12:35 because there's a lefty on the mound. Maybe they'll be cautious with him. So check on those guys. Other notes. This is important. The Pittsburgh mascot drove a remote control car very close to Clayton Kershaw while Kershaw was stretching before the game, and Kershaw got really angry.
Every single mascot in every single stadium should do that before Clayton Kershaw starts now.
It was like, pretty funny.
Explains a lot about that start.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. If you're a mascot in an opposing stadium and you don't do that in his next start, you failed and should be fired.
Brandon Guyer started a rehab assignment, and meanwhile, Tampa Bay acquired Oswaldo Arcia, who had a nice game on Sunday, a home run and a double. Arcia's 3% owned. Any interest in him?
Maybe he was just a change of scenery guy. You got this change of scenery? No, I don't have any hope for him. I'm done hoping for Oswaldo Arcia.
I got a little bit of hope. Yeah, a lot of power there.
San Diego might go with a 6-man rotation when Andrew Cashner returns. Sean Manaea is on a rehab assignment, and Jake McGee could begin a rehab assignment this week. Okay, your studs who were actually studs this week. There's only four of them this weekend, anyway. Jacob DeGrom, you know, I'm not quite ready to throw my hands up in the air and celebrate. He got six swinging strikes in eight scoreless innings at the Braves.
The Braves just don't swing and miss very much.
Yeah, they're not a big strikeout team.
All right. You know, I think he has 10 straight starts without a win or something like that, DeGrom. Three wins this year. So you got to think better things are coming. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. 3-4 with a 2.67 ERA. Carlos Carrasco was outstanding. Seven strikeouts in a complete game shutout at Detroit. And then Julio Teheran, maybe we should talk about him. I was surprised, given his record, 3-7, that Teheran is the number 20 starting pitcher in points leagues and number 13 in Roto.
He's been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, he's got almost a strikeout per inning, but .89 whip. He's been great. Talk about him.
He's a guy that I've moved up every single week, and I will move up again this week in my rankings. He just keeps doing it. He's the bright spot in Atlanta. I mean, he's must start, obviously. He's top 30. I'm not sure if I'm ready to put him in the top 25 yet.
See, I'm lagging behind you because I moved him up this weekend, and I moved him up to about 40. It might have been actually exactly 40.
I think I had him in the mid-30s right now, and he'll be in the top 30 by the end of this week.
Okay, we had an email from Jeremy. He wants to know if you would rather have Verlander or Teheran.
I'll go Teheran.
I would still rather have Verlander. And wins losses are definitely part of the equation for me.
And Drew Pomerantz had a really good start. Pomerantz is now up to, let's see, he's up to 100. He's up to 88 innings. And that's the same amount he threw last year. But he's got, you know, 147 innings like five seasons ago. 112, 115, 88, 88. So we know there's an innings limit somewhere for Pomerantz.
I figure he's probably good for about 180.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's because
you said the high was, what, 145 or something like that?
Yeah, but that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's the baseline that probably should be used.
I would feel more comfortable with 160 probably. If I was them, but I mean, what do you put? I don't know.
That's still, he's at 88 now. So 160 gets you pretty much to the finish line at this rate. Cause you know, right?
Right.
12 weeks, yeah. 88. Okay. These guys struggled over the weekend. Tell me if there's anything to be concerned about. David Price, Johnny Cueto, Justin Verlander, John Lackey, Stephen Wright, Danny Salazar, Dallas Keuchel, Chris Tillman, Stephen Matz.
My biggest concerns are with the latter three, and Matt's only because of the elbow discomfort that he had a few days back. Tillman, I think he's overperformed a bit this year, and I'm actually considering dropping him.
No.
Yeah. And it's the thing that probably is holding me back the most, and I've talked about this in regard to other players, is he's 96% owned. So, you know, if I drop him, I'm saying goodbye because I'm sure somebody else will pick him up right away. But on teams where I'm pretty stacked with pitching, he's the guy that's on the bench all the time for me.
Well, I think you'd have to be pretty stacked with pitching to drop Chris Tillman. Because I get what you're saying. He's overperforming. He's coming back down to earth a little bit, but
yeah.
Still, I mean, look at his last two starts, 14 and a third, one earned run against the Royals and the Red Sox at the Red Sox. Like, how could you drop, just given what we've talked about all show, I can't drop Chris Tillman. Would you drop? Okay, here's some guys who are somewhat available, right? Kevin Gausman, Bartolo Colon, Shelby Miller, Michael Pineda, Zach Davies. Would you drop Tillman for any of those guys?
I wouldn't, but if Pineda's still out there a week from now and Pineda continues to trend positively and Tillman doesn't, I would make that swap.
I would drop Tillman for Pineda now.
Oh, wow.
Then I can't make that move in a week because
I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy, guys, given what Pineda's done. He's got a 5.51 ERA. I'm sorry.
It's been better lately.
He has been better lately.
I'm getting reeled in.
Yeah, careful there. No, look, I mean, he's certainly a very impressive pitcher, just when he can keep it together. And he's at San Diego this weekend.
Yeah. See, now, Keuchel, I'm sorry. But I said the latter three. I just hadn't said anything about Keuchel. And yeah, this was kind of a setback for him because Keuchel had been doing a little bit better recently. But the interesting thing with him is that last year he was so good at getting batters to swing at pitches outside the zone. And recently, I think last month or so, he's just started throwing pitches in the strike zone more often. So,
you know,
it was working for him.
I noticed something on Baseball Reference with Keuchel. In 2013, 2014 was good, 2015 was Cy Young. 2013 was 5.15 ERA and a 1.54 WHIP.
He was terrible.
He's got his numbers this year to that year, 2013, are remarkably similar. ERA, WHIP, home run rate, hit rate, walk to strikeout ratio, ground ball to fly ball, line drive, and home run to fly ball ratio are all very similar.
Isn't he striking out a lot? Again, strikeouts are the most important stat.
Right? They are. That's why Heath likes Michael Pineda.
Yeah.
He's at 7.9 strikeouts per nine. He had 7.2 in 2013. Two other numbers.
Okay, not as big a difference as I thought.
Remarkably similar. His BABIP against, that's one of the main things that made him elite last year was the fact that he stranded 80% of runners that reached base and only allowed a 269 BABIP against. That was a major problem for him in 2013. It was 340 and 68%. This year, it's 334 and 66%.
It's weird, right? I mean, he's having a bad year.
Oh, yeah, he's not. I don't know what to make of it, because after the 2014 season, I thought he just had one of the luckiest seasons I'd ever seen. And then he followed up so strong in 2015, added a little bit in the strikeout department, got even more fortunate, according to the peripherals. And I just bought into the fact, well, he's going to be a guy that just really outperforms his peripherals, and he's doing the exact opposite.
And he was grankying it, right? I mean, you know, getting bad contact on some, you know, pitches that were located very well.
He was a clear regression candidate coming into this year.
But not
we just thought he'd regress to being good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still wonder about the velocity. I haven't checked it lately, but I think it's an issue for him. Because it had been down. All right, let me say this. Personally, I would not trade Fulmer or Shoemaker for Dallas Keuchel right now. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I wouldn't do it. Would you guys?
I'm sorry, Fulmer or who was the other pitcher?
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker? I might with Fulmer. I'd have to look at that. But no, I wouldn't with Shoemaker for sure.
Okay. Okay, guys. I'm going to throw out some names of players who are out there in some leagues. You know, Carlos Rodon is 75% owned. Pineda and Eovaldi are 70% owned. Zach Davies is 66% owned, and I really think we should give him a pass because it was just one bad inning against Washington on Friday, and he struck out 9 in 5 innings. Like, I should have picked him up. I'm going to put in a claim for him right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to turn to a pumpkin. I'm not buying this. I think he's way over-owned.
Yeah. I can't disagree with Al.
The peripherals are just very ordinary in terms of the control, in terms of the swings and misses.
But even lately? Even in these last five starts?
I'm not sure about Friday. The one before that was a big strikeout game too, wasn't it? I'm sorry, I don't have the game logs in front of me, so I'm working off of memory. But
all right, last five starts is what I have for Zach Davies. 3-0, 1.64 ERA, 6 walks, 36 strikeouts in 33 innings. And I don't know if that includes the Washington start, which was 1 walk, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings.
I think it does, because the 3 starts before this last one, he had 6, 7, and 5 strikeouts.
Okay.
So 18 and 20 innings. And that's good. Maybe I'm just slow to react. I don't think we saw anything out of Zach Davies that said he could be anywhere close to this type of strikeout pitcher he's been over his last 5 starts.
I mean, look, if he were, you know, pulling a Matt Shoemaker and all of a sudden getting, you know, between 12 and 20 whiffs a game consistently, you know, or Stephen Wright for that matter, I would, you know, be of a different mindset. But
I mean, his swinging strike rate's 8%.
Yeah, it's very ordinary.
But
in what stretch?
For the season.
No, I know, but I think you got to look what he's done in the last 5 games and see maybe he's turned the corner. And Scott is always talking about his changeup, and it is, I mean, it is a really nice pitch. Maybe it's just kind of like what Fulmer did. He started throwing his changeup more, and it was better, and he's been awesome. Maybe that's just a step in the right direction for Zach Davies.
That is possible. I don't have his swinging strike rate for his last five starts on hand, but that would be something to look at.
All right. I would bet it's pretty high, and I will look into it. I'm going to just throw out more names. You tell me who interests you. Matt Moore, Kevin Gausman, Bartolo Colon, Shelby Miller, Archie Bradley, Anthony DeSclafani, Jeremy Hellickson. Did I hear DeSclafani in there?
I think DeSclafani is, of the names that you just went through, is the one I'm most interested in. This was a very good start. It is a little bit worrisome to me that in his fourth start of the year, he throws 117 pitches. But I think in his very first start of the year, he threw like 99. So I guess there's just no concerns at all about his arm. And he's now made four starts, and he's given up four earned runs.
I don't really get, though. You sit here and you lecture me about strikeouts.
Right. He doesn't get those.
Right.
He did late last season.
Yeah.
One per inning over, well, I don't remember how many starts, but it was a good long stretch.
I mean, I don't think Anthony DeSclafani is a guy I'm going to start every week. But if he has a two-start week or he has a good matchup, I'm interested in him.
I am too, and I'm also still interested in Bradley and Hellickson. I worry about control with both of them. They may just simply be matchups guys, but when the matchups are good, I think they can be really good.
All right. What is going on with Baseball Reference? Why will they not update? It's very frustrating. Well, I don't have the information on Zach Davies.
What do you need to know?
Well, they don't. The game log is. It won't update like, with Friday's like, start. I'm getting very angry right now.
Yeah. What factor are you looking for?
I'm looking for Zach Davies swinging strikes in his last five.
Oh, okay.
Can't do that if I don't have the info on the fifth one.
I think there's other websites out there that might do that.
Brooks Baseball. Let's promote them a little.
Yeah, we can go to brooksbaseball.net. Do you know how to use Brooks Baseball, Adam?
Oh yeah, I use it. I use it only for velocity and pitch selection.
Okay.
But I do it.
Okay. Good.
Now I'm gonna read you my FanDuel lineup. And then we're going to read some emails to finish the show. Trevor Bauer, I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in Yankee Stadium with Chichi Gonzalez and someone crappy for the Yankees. Who's pitching tonight? Nova? Yeah. So I got Yankees and Rangers are good to have. Trevor Bauer, Brian McCann, Mark Teixeira because he's 2,300. Logan Forsyth facing a lefty. Michael Franco, not thrilled about that one, but he's been hitting better lately. Troy Tulowitzki, big return to Coors Field. Nomar Mazara, Carlos Gonzalez, and Mookie Betts. That's my FanDuel lineup.
You wanted Zach Davies swing strikes over his last five starts, which all encompass the month of June. Mm-hmm. He threw, five starts to go on June the 1st. He got 13 swinging strikes, eight of those on his changeup.
Mm-hmm.
His next start against the Athletics.
He had four.
He had six. And one of those is on the changeup.
No, he had four. This is why. This is unbelievable, people. This is unbelievable. We put so much stock into analytics and all these websites that tell us line drive rate and this and that. And they can't even agree on it. Because Baseball Reference has four swinging strikes against Oakland, and Brooks Baseball has six. How is that difficult to calculate? And why are line drive rates so different depending on what site you use?
Well, one's a little easier to answer. Swinging strikes are swinging strikes, but there's a little bit of...
I'm looking at raw whiff counts. Would you like something different?
What counts?
Raw whiff counts.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Whiff Merrifield.
In his last start against Washington... He had nine swinging strikes. Shockingly, the most came on his cutter, four of them. Only three on the changeup.
He's getting a lot of looking strikes, by the way. A lot of called strikes.
Allegedly, depending on what site you look at.
Depending on what site you look at. Let me read some emails to finish this show here, guys. We read the one from Jeremy about Verlander versus Teran. So here is one from No Name. Dear Hal, Bruce, Barry, and Clark.
Clark with a K.
Yeah, I don't know. Bruce Barry might be one name. But I had Nola all year. I picked him up. It's 8-team categories league. Let's see. I don't really understand. This email is not good.
Well, why did you... Like, you Do you just copy and paste emails and you don't read them before you decide you're going to read them on the show?
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding,
okay.
Ding.
Okay. Well, I think we should skip that one.
Okay, we're going to skip that one. It's a little
on
messy.
The skibometer.
Clean it up. Clean it up. This is from TC, a loyal listener in Madison, Wisconsin. This guy loves us, by the way. Very flattering emails. Thank you. 10-team, 6x5 league, counts quality starts, not wins. It's a mistake. I'm having a hard time with some guys you bring up and talk about, especially with the two-star pitchers each week. They're on my waiver wire, but he doesn't want to drop players on his team. So would you drop any of his players for the following guys who are on waivers? Chen, McHugh, Bradley, Whistler, Mengden. They're on waivers. Chen, McHugh, Bradley, Whistler, and Mengden.
I'm going to say probably not.
And he has Franco, Chu, Scope, Ozuna, Pomeranz, Maeda, Paxton, Shoemaker, and Eichhoff.
That's like I'm reading the names that you're giving me. This is really hard to follow along with as well. I don't think so, no.
This week I might and it's a 10-team league. That makes it easier. So yeah, Eichhoff is droppable. And I would probably it would be between Bradley and Whistler. I'd probably pick up Bradley, even though he's just got the one start. But I can't remember now if it's the Phillies or the Braves, but it's a really good matchup. And I figure Bradley's going to be somebody I'm going to be able to use throughout the season.
The Phillies.
I do agree that Eichhoff's droppable in a 10-team league, but I don't think for any of those guys.
I kind of think Franco is droppable. He already has Rendon and Gong. But although I want to see where this hot streak goes, I guess.
Well, nobody else on the list is really, you know, compelling enough to drop Franco for maybe next week. But I would do Eichhoff for Bradley.
Antoine wants to know if he should drop Andrew Miller for Sungwon Oh in a 10-team head-to-head categories league with no holds.
I would not. I'm holding on to Miller because I think it's more likely that he gets a lot of saves in the second half than Oh.
Really?
You think? Well, I guess the Yankees are back to 500, so they're going to pretend like they're contenders, aren't they?
They are. That's the thing. They really are.
They should really.
10-team league, I would definitely do that.
Okay.
Why, though? I mean, we read those numbers from Oh. They're not Andrew Miller good, but they're pretty close. 12 strikeouts per nine and a sub-1 whip. He's been awesome. And you guys feel like he's going to be the closer.
I think he's okay. I want to clarify. I think it was Al that said he's the closer. And I agree 100% with Al that if I was the manager, he's the closer. But I don't necessarily trust a crusty manager to not give veteran a shot at being
which veteran
crusty
Broxton.
Yes, I'm terrified. I have nightmares about Jonathan Broxton being the closer.
I would be worried more about Segrist because I think Segrist, if he gets a job, takes it and runs.
I think Segrist
Broxton,
should.
I don't
yes.
think so. I think it's not completely without risk to speculate on. Oh, but in a 10-team league, yeah. I'm assuming there's saves out there. If it doesn't work out within a couple weeks, you change course.
By the way, I don't know if this changes your argument at all because I understand he's a major league rookie, but he's 33.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you know in a week we have a potential O-Kratz matchup?
I didn't know that.
And in 3 weeks, the final boss could face the Boss Man Jr.
The final boss is Sungwon Oh, right?
Yes.
I want you to remind me to tell you about my idea for a crepe shop next time we're on a podcast, okay?
You know, I worked in one.
Oh, good. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's show, actually. I have a great idea for a crepe store.
I won't be here probably, but...
What the hell, Al? Can you have a little... Oh, you're not here on Tuesdays. That's right.
I mean, I'm here, but I'm not.
You have no consistency.
Right here. I know. I'm like... who did we talk about that was inconsistent? I can't remember. That's how inconsistent I am.
Yeah, you're Jake Odorizzi. See you later, everybody. Machado or Bono.